A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space, Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in a sunny harbor, a man speaks into a PA on board the Nautilus, a glass-bottom boat.
You are looking at the famous undersea gardens of Catalina Island, a paradise of exotic fish and giant kelp. Largest of these is the great bladder kelp.
Passengers crowd around the sunken viewing window.
Note the gentle swaying motion of the kelp plants, like a lovely ballet. And if a mermaid should happen to join our ballet, remember, anything can happen in the mysterious depths of the ocean.
The captain grabs a walkie-talkie.
Anytime, Jenny.
Okay, Bob.
A blonde woman in a mermaid tail dives off a dock. The woman, Jenny, swims underwater toward the Nautilus, but another boat drifts in her path. On board, a broad-chested man in swim trunks considers some notes while his fishing pole gets a nibble. Underwater, the hook catches on the waist of Jenny's mermaid tail. She twists, drawing the line from the reel. On the deck of the boat, the Sea Whiz, the man shuts down the engine, then rushes to grab the fishing pole. He reels in the line, tugging and giving slack. Below, Jenny grabs onto an old anchor, gripping her suit bottom with one hand. As she wiggles her shapely hips, the hook unzips the mermaid tail. The tawny-haired man reels in the line and lifts it out of the water. The orange mermaid tail is tangled in the clear twine. Nearby, Jenny swims to the surface, watching as the man puzzles over the suit.
Hey!
He turns around.
What in heaven's name do you think you're doing?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. That's my suit on your line.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a pretty funny-looking suit.
It's my mermaid tail. And would you please draw it back?
Well, that's kind of difficult. It's all tangled. Why don't you come aboard and I'll untangle it for you?
Well, that's a little difficult, too, since I'm bottomless.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Well, here, get into this.
He tosses a cardigan into the water. It lands on Jenny's head.
And another thing. Don't you believe in signs?
Now what are you talking about?
That sign over there. It's clear. No fishing.
Oh, well, I wasn't exactly fishing.
Well, then, what were you doing?
Maybe I was hunting for mermaids.
Oh, I'm going to have you arrested.
They're going to have you arrested going around without your bottom.
Jenny throws the wet sweater in his face. She turns and swims away. One hand placed on his hip, the man gazes after her. Fade to black. Now, in animation, bubbles rise underwater. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents a Martin Melcher Everett Freeman production. A mermaid swims among the bubbles, starring Doris Day, Rod Taylor, and Arthur Godfrey.
All aboard on the glass bottom boat. It's the greatest show that was ever afloat. Take a ride on the tide with the guide and see the way out wonders of the deep blue sea. The deep blue sea, the deep blue sea. There's a lot to see in the deep blue sea. The sailfish sail and the blowfish blow. Cockles and mussels alive, alive, boat.
In the glass bottom boat. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Nicole Savickas and Joshua Castor. Read by Chloe Lehman. Titles continue. Also starring John McGiver, Paul Lynde, Edward Andrews, Eric Fleming, Don Deluise, Elizabeth Frazier, and Dick Martin as Zach.
Spiny crabs and whitefish too. We'll all be there. What a hullabaloo.
With George Tobias, Alice Pierce, Ellen Corby, and DJ Thompson. Music by Duvall. Songs, The Glass Bottom Boat by Joe Luban, and Soft as the Starlight by Joe Luban and Jerome Howard. Copyright 1966 by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and UTERP Productions. In the animation, smoke billows from the base of a space shuttle and it rockets up into space.
Even though the deep blue sea, that's a lot to see in the deep blue sea.
More titles: Miss Day's Costumes, designed by Rhea Guyon. An Arwen Ream Picture, written by Everett Freeman. Produced by Martin Melcher and Everett Freeman. Directed by Frank Tashlin. The animated shuttle capsule orbits Earth, then plunges into the sea. The mermaid swims to the surface. Now, the swimming body of the mermaid fades into the real body of an astronaut suspended in midair. In a lab, the man from the SeaWiz boat and scientists in lab coats watch tensely through an observation window as the astronaut floats in a chamber. The man from the SeaWiz turns and flips a series of switches on a control panel. The astronaut drops gently to the ground. A news headline appears. Gravity test successful. Bruce Templeton, space wizard and historic achievement. Now in an office.
Correct to say, Mr. Templeton, your company's new device will overcome weightlessness in space?
Yes, that's right.
It actually simulates gravity?
Electronically speaking, yeah.
Mr. Templeton, could you explain, a little
more? Gentlemen, one at a time.
What do you call this thing we saw?
Technically, this thing is referred to as Gravity Inertial Stabilized Manned Observatory. The initials for that are G-I-S-M-O, and that spells gizmo, and that's what we call it.
A monitor lights up.
Bruce?
Yeah, Paul?
I got a little problem. Can I come up?
Why don't you stay there? I'll come down to you.
Do the Russians have anything like gizmo?
No, I'm sure they'd like it, though.
Well, can you give us the equation?
No, I'm sure they'd like that even better. Listen, if you'll excuse me, I have to leave, and my partner, Mr. Malloy, will carry on and answer any further questions. You can handle that, can you, Einstein?
I'll fake it, old boy.
Yeah, fine.
His partner, Zach, sits at the desk.
All right, fellas. And little lady. Fire away. But remember, Templeton's the brains. I just moved the merchandise.
How did he arrive at this equation?
Well...
Outside, Jenny leads a tour.
Now, this building is called the M1 building. All this specially designed for testing spacecraft and subsystems. The laboratory is fully equipped with a thermal vacuum chamber, a super clean room, and a space...
Oh, Mrs. Nelson, may I see you for a moment, please?
Oh, yes, Mr. Goodwin. Would you excuse me, please?
The portly Mr. Goodwin approaches.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you're finished with the tour, come up to my office.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to mobilize everybody in public relations. The press are clamoring for gizmo data. And I thought you might be equipped to write some of it.
Yes, sir. Did you say that I should write it, sir? Oh, I'd like that very much, Mr. Goodwin. I really would, but... You must understand that I'm just a beginner.
Oh,
I've had no
experience whatsoever. Confidence in your work, Mrs. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Goodwin.
Besides, I've taken a special interest in you.
Oh, that's very kind of you, sir. The tour, I bet...
Goodwin watches as Jenny ducks into the M1 building and jogs toward a receptionist.
Hi, Jen. How do you like your first week in a Think Factory?
Oh, boy, it's like being back at college. I even had an offer to stay after school.
So I noticed, but remember, the campus widow can't just brush off the dean of women.
Campus widow? Say, how does everybody know so much about me?
That badge you're wearing, it represents a tight security check. Sex female, marital status widow. Widow, that's like catnip.
Well, not for that gat. Oh, Donna, may I borrow a dime, please? I have to call my dog, thanks.
Donna hands her a dime, and Jenny walks to a payphone.
Did you say you were calling your dog?
Yeah. You know, with me away at work all day, the poor thing doesn't get any exercise. So, whenever the phone rings, he runs around the house barking like crazy.
At her house, a curly-haired gray dog jumps over the bottom half of a Dutch door. In the lobby.
4 5
Nearby, a security guard, Homer Cripps, taps aimlessly on a model satellite.
Okay, Vladimir, that's all I have time for, baby. See you later.
The guard squints suspiciously at Jenny.
Vladimir?
There you are.
Jenny hands Donna the dime.
Thanks.
She returns to the tour.
Thank you very much for waiting.
Later.
This is called the clean room. It's completely sterilized so that no dust or dirt will contaminate the critical parts. Workers entering the clean room must first stand on this grate, which shakes off dust from shoes and clothing. Like this.
Jenny stands on the grate as it rocks back and forth. The visitors smile.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. I guess we better go now. We'll go that way.
The visitors move down the hall. Jenny takes a step, but one of her high heels is caught in the grate. She bends down to tug at her foot. Bruce steps out of the clean room. He stares down at Jenny.
Excuse me?
I'll be out of your way in just a minute.
Bruce pulls Jenny up to face him.
Hey! You're the mermaid.
Yes, I'm the mermaid.
Didn't recognize you with your clothes on. Well, we never did introduce ourselves, did we?
Well, let's leave it that way, shall we?
She reaches down for her shoe.
What are you mad about, mermaid?
In case you hadn't noticed, my heel is stuck.
A sign reads, high heels prohibited.
Don't you believe in signs? You could have your license removed.
Bruce holds Jenny's arm. She pulls away from his grip.
Okay, so now we're even.
Okay, so let me help you with your shoe.
Crouching, Bruce holds Jenny's calf as he tugs at her shoe. Jenny pulls free of the shoe and hobbles down the hall.
Where's your sense of humor?
Wait a minute, what about your shoe?
Bruce grabs for the shoe, but it remains stuck. Bracing himself, he tugs on the shoe and the entire grate lifts out of the floor. Elsewhere, Zach sees the security guard.
Hey, Grips!
Yes, sir?
Where's Mr. Templeton?
I believe he's in the clean room, sir.
Thank you.
Later, Zach strides down the hall to the clean room. He steps up to the door and falls through the floor. Clouds of dust swell into the air. Now, outside, Jenny limps along with one shoe.
Hey!
Bruce chases her, waving the white pump in the air. Jenny turns and runs, sliding to a stop in front of the M1 building. She runs through the lobby and stops at Donna's desk.
What are you trying out for?
Some creep is chasing me.
Oh, honey.
Jenny hides under the desk.
Do you see him? A wild-eyed maniac with one shoe?
Donna's jaw drops as Bruce walks into the lobby.
Listen, oh, hello, Donna.
Hello, Mr. Templeton.
Jenny gapes.
Can I do something for you, Mr. Templeton? Mr. Bruce Templeton?
I was looking for the owner of this. You haven't seen her, have you?
It's funny you should mention that. I did see somebody, but...
Well, she's a very attractive blonde, somewhat kooky, with one shoe off and one shoe on.
Bruce spots Jenny as she attempts to back out from her hiding place. He leans over the desk, rests his chin in his hands, and gazes down at the top of her head.
Hello there.
Hello, sir.
Did you lose something?
No, Mr. Templeton. I am so sorry about all this, but I didn't know who you were. And I'm so embarrassed.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes, I'm fine, thank you. But I'm fine. But please forgive me.
Oh, there's nothing to forgive.
It just seems that I now owe you one shoe and one mermaid's tail.
Not really. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, anyway, there's the shoe. And I'll send you the mermaid's tail.
Thank you very much, sir.
She forces a smile. As Bruce walks away, Jenny closes her eyes and sighs deeply. Now, Bruce walks into his office.
Tell Mr. Malloy I want to see him, honey, will you? Oh, Zach.
Zach sits on a table covered in dust from head to toe.
What happened to you?
I have just dictated a memo to the janitorial department. The dust under the clean room grate is to be cleared away daily. That's all, Miss Perkins.
The young secretary walks out.
You didn't...
Zach nods.
You didn't fall through the...
Ho, ho, ho. Where is the humor? It just so happens that dust is the worst thing in the world for my ulcers. My doctor told me this morning...
Dust pours from his hair.
Zach, where are you?
Now, outside, Cripps hides behind a large bush. Wearing dark sunglasses, he spies on Jenny as she uses a payphone. A NASA gardener turns on the sprinklers, soaking Cripps. Straightening, Cripps pulls off his glasses and dries them with a handkerchief. Now in Bruce's office.
You're kidding. You found a girl and you're interested? Like she was a piece of space hardware?
Like a piece of space hardware.
Whee!
Whee!
Gonna take time off, sit on the boat in the sun with my little piece of space hardware? Oh, I almost forgot. You know what this is?
What?
This is the Air Force confirmation to go, go, go. Put Gizmo into orbit.
What?
Of course, we could cancel it.
It's only a $75 million contract. Tell you what I'll do. I'll call General Bleeker. Tell him you found a girl you're not
interested. Wait. But in orbit by July.
3 months.
It's impossible. We can't do it.
You can do it.
We can?
Yeah.
Maybe we can. Let's think carefully. Right. You go to Washington, tell that general it's a cinch.
I already got the plane tickets.
Bruce gets on the phone.
And Valenti, we'll work 24 hours a day.
That's my boy. All work and no play. Push that gal back in your calendar.
Right.
Better still, give me the number. I'll call her.
No. She's something special. I'll call her.
Oh, I know you with girls. Forget it. Give
wait
me the number.
Wait a minute. You've done this before. How?
On the plane. Try.
Go.
A little try.
Washington, go.
She might like
the jet. Go.
Now, Jenny pulls into her driveway in a red convertible. Next door, a neighbor trims his hedges.
Honey!
His wife carries over a large box with a green bow.
Oh, hi, Mabel. Hi, Norman.
Hi. What have you got there?
Well, this package came for you while you were out.
For me?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
And the boy said it was from a... Who'd he say it was
Mr.
from?
Mr. Templeton.
Yeah.
Mr. Templeton. Oh, that must be my mermaid tail.
Mermaid's tail? You've been fishing?
What?
No. It's a mermaid. Oh, it's a long story. I'll tell you sometime.
Jenna, we have a lovely man coming over tonight. A business associate of Norman's.
Mr. Mutnick.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's older, but very well-to-do, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Would you join us? Could you?
Oh, I wish I could. I'd love to meet him. But I have to get dressed and go to class right now. But thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah.
I'll take a rain check on that.
Okay.
And thanks for taking in this box. I better get in because Vladimir's barking like crazy.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry, Norman.
Oh, it's all right.
Excuse me. Thanks a lot.
She runs off up the path.
Class. You can't tell me she goes to class every night. And you didn't even talk to her about that idiotic dog.
I didn't get a chance.
Barking every time the phone rings.
Inside her house, Jenny kisses Vladimir on his nose. Then walks to a birdcage where two minor birds perch.
Oh, sweetheart.
Call the cop. Call the cop.
Yourself.
Jenny peers into an aquarium.
Hello, fish. You all there? Huh? You hungry for your din-din?
Lifting a metal cover from the tank, she sprinkles fish food on the water.
Come on, eat hearty, kids. No hooks.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, my sweetheart.
Jenny opens a window. Outside, a cage holds a black feathered toucan.
Los Angeles. This is 11Q1173, Unit 2, Santa Catalina calling.
Jenny picks up the receiver of a shortwave radio.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Pop. Say, you'll be happy to hear we got the mermaid outfit back.
Yeah? How?
If I told you, you'd never believe it.
You can tell me about it when you come over on the weekend.
Oh, Pop, I don't think I can make it this weekend. I've got a million things I have to do.
But, Jenny, you got to come over. I've got to have a mermaid.
Here's Nina.
I said mermaid, not whale maid.
Couldn't find the tail. Will this cover you?
Jenny puzzles over a card inside the box, then tosses it aside and roots through layers of tissue paper underneath. At her father's, Nina, a buxom woman, sits beside him.
Now, if you told me you couldn't make it because you had a boyfriend or something, you know, that would be different.
Oh, there you go again. Nag, nag, nag.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Jenny pulls out a bikini top.
Oh, okay, Pop. So long, Nina. No hard feelings.
He hangs up.
What do you mean, whale maid?
Well, let's face it, baby doll. You ain't no guppy.
He hugs Nina. At her house, Jenny pulls out the rest of the tiger-striped bikini and holds the bottom to her waist.
He's kidding.
Oh, no.
Jenny throws the suit back into the box. Now, at Bruce's office, he works as Cripps waits nearby.
RP minus 27 over Y squared. Okay?
Right. As I was saying, sir, I happen to have a dossier on the girl if you care to hear it.
Well, oh, yeah, go, Homer.
Dossier. Jennifer Nelson, married, widowed. Husband Randolph Nelson, oceanographer.
Oceanographer.
Oh, thank you, sir. He went down in a diving bell off the Bahamas. End of husband. Father, Axel Nordstrom, operates glass bottom boat in Catalina. Girl lives alone with dog, two minor birds, and tropical fish. Hobbies, boating and cooking. Won first prize in baking contest for banana cream cake.
Bruce grimaces.
Holds navigator's license number 7256. Currently taking night courses in, now you ready for this? Dramatic writing, ballet, sculpture, music appreciation, radio telegraphy, ceramics, and map making.
Map making, and I thought I was busy.
You, got some problem with this girl, sir?
Yeah, tough as kind, Homer. Two bodies moving in
different orbits.
Well, I always said there was an equation for everything.
I believe you were quoted to that effect in one of the magazines, sir.
You take Mars and you take Venus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, Mars is locked in his orbit because of extreme pressure.
Pressure? Oh, right.
But if we can induce Venus to move out of her orbit with the added factors of X plus Y and apply it to COD.
COD?
Yeah, contents of dossier.
I'm lost.
No, look.
Bruce writes on a pad.
COD plus XY to the second power plus OS orbit shift equals Mars and Venus joined.
Amazing, sir.
Yeah.
Do you think the world's ready for this?
Homer, like all great thinking, it's a wonder nobody ever thought of it before.
Elsewhere.
Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, hey, sir.
Mr. Templeton wishes to see you in his office.
Mr. Temp? Oh, about what, sir?
Later. You see, Mrs. Nelson, in a very short time from now, a manned rocket will take off for some far distant part of our solar system. And just in case I'm not around to answer any questions, your biography will anticipate anything that might be asked about me.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, to help you work more effectively, I'd like to take you into my full confidence. All this is highly classified, of course.
Of course, sir. Oh, and you know, Mr. Templeton, our department uses a code name for each assignment. What shall I call this one, sir?
Well, let's call it Project Venus.
Project Venus? You mean you're going to the... Yes, sir.
Mr. Templeton!
Yeah?
We're ready for you on the tower!
Fine, we'll be right there. That's you and I. Let's go.
Oh, yes, sir.
Outside.
Here we are, not very flattering, but you got to wear one out here.
Oh, thank you.
Jenny fits a white hard hat on her head.
Actually, I'm a little old country boy from Sioux City, Iowa, and,
Bruce stops and looks back for Jenny.
Mrs. Nelson.
Jenny tries to push the tight helmet onto her head. She holds it down and races to catch up with him. A car stops short as she runs in its path. Bruce turns.
Sorry, Mr. Templeton.
Well, as I was saying, I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, and I like baseball, paperbacks, movies. Oh, and I love a really good piece of banana cream cake.
Jenny's helmet slips.
Banana cream?
What's the matter?
I won a contest for baking a banana cream cake.
No.
Oh.
What? With marshmallow or coconut?
Both.
Jenny, that's fantastic. This is my very special favorite.
The hard hat slips off.
Those are adjustable.
Oh, are they really? Thanks.
Rolling his eyes, Bruce adjusts her helmet.
Thanks very much.
Jenny puts it on. It covers her eyes. Later, Bruce and Jenny ride an elevator up a tall scaffold. Jenny turns woozily from the window and takes a deep breath. On top of the scaffold, Jenny looks down at the ground far below, then closes her eyes. When she opens her eyes again, they're crossed. Now, they watch through a window as a command capsule splashes down in a tank. Later, they walk down a hall, stopping at a restricted area. As a guard opens the door, Jenny studies a poster that reads, "Burn it." This scrap of paper may be the link he's looking for. Jenny glances over her shoulder, then shuts her notebook. Nighttime. Alone at her desk, Jenny pulls a page from a typewriter, rolling her head to stretch her neck. Standing, she puts a pile of papers into her briefcase. Cripps watches from the doorway. Jenny shuts off the light and turns to leave. She pauses, then hurries back to her desk. Cripps' eyes widen as Jenny uses a lighter to set a page of her notes on fire. From the doorway, Cripps nods knowingly. Daytime. Jenny sits in the back of a cart as Bruce drives. She struggles to write as the cart swerves. Now, Jenny watches as Bruce climbs out of a space capsule and pulls off his helmet. She gazes up at him in awe. Later, eyes on her notes, Jenny follows Bruce and Mr. Goodwin down a hallway. As two scientists in lab coats block her path, Bruce and Goodwin walk through a blue door. Stepping past the scientists, Jenny walks through an orange door.
Mrs. Nelson?
The men wander back out into the hall looking around. Bruce spots Jenny in the anti-gravity room. She flips in midair.
Help!
Bruce purses his lips tightly. Later, they watch a rocket ignite. Jenny jumps and grabs Bruce's arm. He smiles. Nighttime outside. Jenny takes a cup of coffee from a snack trailer and carries it over to Bruce, who works at a drafting table.
Yeah.
Thanks. Not getting tired, are you?
You're the one who needs to sleep.
Or where the goddess of love is concerned. Who could sleep when you're plotting a rendezvous with Venus?
Mr. Templeton. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Well, I just want you to know how proud I am to be a part of this fantastic experiment. And I know you'll make it. I'm sure of it.
Keep that thought.
Here we go again. Do you want to watch this?
Yes.
Bruce hands her a hard hat. In a tower, he points as Jenny looks through binoculars. A rocket ignites, burning blue and orange in the dark. Looking up from her binoculars, Jenny glances surreptitiously over at Bruce. A soft smile plays on her full lips as she watches him. Daytime. Jenny drives her convertible toward a house on a landscaped bluff. Wearing a pink and white checkered suit and holding a cake box, Jenny looks around as a petite older woman opens the door.
Well, come on in. I've been expecting you. Besides, I heard your car drive up.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Nelson.
I know that. I'm Mrs. Miller.
How do you do? Oh, my. What a house.
Is that a cake?
Oh, yes. I baked it for Mr. Templeton.
Well, here. It must be heavy.
Oh, I hope not.
No.
Jenny?
Oh, hello, Mr. Templeton.
Mrs. Nelson, this is Edgar Hill of the CIA.
How do you do?
Well, why don't you go in and get started? Anything you need, ask Anna.
Okay, thank you.
Come on.
Excuse me?
The men watch as Jenny follows Anna out.
My biographer. Guess I better settle down and read it sometime and find out what I've been doing.
And the other lady is Anna Miller?
Yeah. Cook, housekeeper, and absolute treasure. Been with me for 10 years. That is Pritter's hi-fi service wiring the house for a party.
Well, I'll be in town a few days checking on another spy rumble and back to Washington.
All righty. Sorry it wasn't more exciting for you here.
Well, let's keep it that way. Oh, yes, this new equation of yours. Where's it kept?
Up here.
In his head.
No plans or blueprints?
Sure, they're in two vaults. One at the office, one here.
Invulnerable?
Yeah, they're invulnerable. Come on, sure.
If you need paper and things, they're behind this bookcase that pulls out and turns, you know.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Miller.
Anna.
Jenny.
Now, Bruce leads Hill into a computerized vault room.
Now, each vault opens only to the frequency of my voice in a special word sequence. And since each voice is uniquely different, the safes are, as you say, invulnerable. Okay.
Excellent.
In the library, Jenny chews gum as she struggles to pull open the supply bookcase. She pushes on the front of the shelf, then tries pulling from the side. Jenny turns away and leans over a railing.
Anna?
A man walks up from behind the bookcase.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. I'm fixing the PA system.
Jenny holds a hand to her heart.
I'm sorry. Pritter's the name. Julius Pritter. Pretty hi-fi stereo, you know. My card.
Jenny holds out a shaking hand.
In case you need any work done.
Pritter clutches his stout chest.
I'll be out of your way in a jiffy.
He walks toward a ladder.
Scary closets.
He puts a handful of nails in his mouth. He picks a nail out of his mouth, then takes a hammer and climbs the ladder. Pritter stretches to tack a wire to the ceiling, 1 foot in the air. As Jenny glances over, his foot dangles over the cake.
Oh, careful!
He steps in the cake.
No! Oh, no!
What was that?
That was a cake!
I'm awfully sorry, lady.
That makes two of us. For three.
What should I do?
Don't move. You'll mess
right,
up
don't
room,
move.
Please.
Could you hurry up, please? It's starting to permeate. I don't feel so well anyway. I have this cold coming on, you know.
Jenny holds a wastebasket up to Pritter's foot.
You put it all in here.
Okay.
The whole thing.
You know, I think I'm going to catch cold.
Pritter lifts his foot, stuffing it and the cake into the wastebasket. Jenny helps, coating her fingers in whipped cream. Pritter's entire leg slides into the wastebasket.
Yeah. Now shake it all
shake.
I think I'm stuck.
You can't be stuck.
No, I am. Oh, yes, I am, because my toes are bent up. I have this ingrown toenail, in fact, two of them, and it says...
Mr. Pritter, I'd rather not hear about your ingrown toenails at this moment, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Jenny tugs on the wastebasket.
Lady, I have this condition.
Mr. Pritter, now will you please...
Shut up.
Right. Now, hang on.
I'm hanging. Pull.
I'm pulling.
Pritter loses his grip on the ceiling and the ladder topples. Jenny raises her hands to her mouth, speckling her face with whipped cream.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Pritter. Are you all right?
Ma'am, you know...
Pritter lies tangled in the ladder. Jenny pulls on the wastebasket.
It's still stuck. Lady, wait, please.
Jenny pulls on the ladder.
Yeah, I can... Wait, my shoulder's connected to that. I think we should get that out. Wait a minute.
Bruce glances into the room from outside.
The ladder.
Jenny lifts the ladder and untangles it from Pritter. Still in the wastebasket, his leg flops against the floor.
Oh, the lift. Oh, God. Oh, it's really a mess. You know something? You're irritated with me. I'm irritated with myself.
Jenny helps him to his feet.
Look, it's just a good thing that I didn't fall in the pool with my cold. That's all. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I cannot go through life like this.
He paces.
Well, Mr. Pritter.
What?
Now, wait a minute. We have to approach this. We have to approach it scientifically.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
Sure, why not?
Now, listen to me.
Yeah.
Jenny chews her gum.
Oh, you're thinking?
I got it. I'm going to put all my weight on this basket.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, you pull your foot out. You see what I mean?
Oh, scientifically.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
All right. Ready?
Sure.
Jenny stands on the wastebasket rim, using Pritter's shoulders to balance. She bounces on the can as Pritter tries to lift his leg. She falls, lodging her leg in the can.
Oh, I'm stuck!
Oh, please, lady, you're stuck. Your heel is in my ingrown.
Jenny tries to walk, but her foot slips on whipped cream.
Mr. Pritter.
Yeah?
Mr. Pritter, we cannot approach this scientifically until I get my foot out.
Okay? Oh, no more scientific, please.
Right, well, now listen to me.
Yeah.
Now, let me hold on to you.
Jenny pushes down on Pritter. Together, they try to move their legs.
Alrighty!
Bruce catches Jenny. Pritter falls into a fountain.
In my butt!
Later, Pritter sits on a bed.
Mr. Templeton said for you to relax, Julius, dear. I'll have your clothes pressed like new in just no time.
That's fine, Dada.
Jenny sits on a patio.
Well, it's kind of large, but that's a good-looking shirt on you.
Mr. Templeton, I'm so sorry about the house. It's just a mess.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Well, I'd like to clean it up.
Oh, no,
really,
don't worry about it. I'm worried about your foot. You hurt your foot, didn't you?
Well, he stepped on it, you know, in the wastebasket. And he's not too thin.
Bruce rubs Jenny's foot.
Poor Mr. Pritter. How is he?
He's kind of hiding while Anna cleans his clothes. He was a mess, believe me.
You know, I shouldn't laugh, but did you see him when he took the fish out of his
shirt?
They
seem to enjoy it. They're still swimming around there. Kind of exhilarating. You know something? I've got a confession to make. I'm not really sorry you hurt your foot. Feels kind of good.
I have a confession to make, too.
What?
You've got the wrong foot.
Oh.
Yes, this one. Ooh. Yeah, right in there is where he stepped on. It's kind of swollen.
Yes, it is. Maybe we should rub some more cake on it.
Oh, no. Oh, gee, I'm sorry about that cake.
Not half as sorry as I am.
You really like it that much?
Well, that's my main food. It's a staple diet. You know.
Well, why don't I bake another one?
That's a marvelous idea.
If you've got the stuff, I'll do it.
Anna has a perfectly organized kitchen. I'm a great assistant pastry cook. Let's go.
Across the patio, Pritter slowly slides open a door. He peeks out as Bruce and Jenny walk into the house. He looks around, then slides the door shut. In the room, Pritter creeps over to a nightstand and roots through a small box. Next, he peers under a lampshade, then runs his hands along the top. Kneeling, he feels around under the mattress. Now in the computerized kitchen.
I just can't get over it. I've never seen a kitchen like this.
Really?
No.
Oh, it's all very simple. Everything works from over here. Push button stuff. Really? Infrared rays for baking. No heat, no sweat. Radiation equivalent to 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. What do you think of that?
It's like an operating room.
Well, let's start operating.
Okay.
What's your secret formula?
Well, the secret's in the beating. You see, you whip the egg white stiff, but never dry.
Stiff, but never dry.
Remember that. Now.
First, we'll get rid of these.
Bruce throws eggshells through a trap door.
Photoelectric cell.
Really? I'm so impressed. would a kitchen like this have an egg beater?
An egg beater?
Uh-huh. Bruce takes a bowl from Jenny.
One egg beater coming up.
He presses a button and an electric mixer rises out of the counter.
I don't believe it.
The mixer lowers into the bowl and beats the egg whites.
Oh, boy, this kitchen doesn't need a woman.
Jenny, you're the one good thing in this kitchen I didn't make provision for. But in case you're a sloppy cook, I made provision for that. Look at this.
Bruce peels a banana, takes a bite, then throws the peel on the floor. A robot rolls out of a cabinet and sweeps the peel away.
It's alive!
We call it an automatic floor cleaner.
Well, it has eyes!
Two lights blink as the box-shaped robot rolls back to its cabinet.
What's this?
He sprinkles flour on the floor. The robot extends a vacuum hose from the center of its face.
And what's that thing in the bag?
A balloon-like bag. Jenny puffs her cheeks in and out.
It's an oscillating suction chamber, believe it or not.
Really, is it?
Where does it go?
In its little house there. We call it the bug. There'll be one in every home someday.
Oh, not mine. Oh, boy. Oh, the egg whites are finished.
Wait. Press the red button.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
Jenny presses the button and the mixer moves to the sink where a faucet washes it.
I don't believe it.
Isn't that cute?
The faucet shuts off and the mixer retracts into the countertop.
It really is.
Jenny watches, leaning forward as the lid slams shut. She jumps. In the bedroom, Pritter thumbs desperately through a leather portfolio. He shuts the folder and puts it on a nightstand, then moves to frisk a sport coat hanging from the closet door. He finds a folded piece of paper in the breast pocket. He unfolds it. It's the Project Venus formula that Bruce wrote for Cripps. Pritter bites happily down on the page. He smooths out the formula and lays it on the nightstand. Hurriedly, he squeezes a tiny camera from a glove inside his toolbox. Turning on a lamp, he holds the camera up to his eye and snaps a picture. His eyes widen. He flips the camera around. Quickly, Pritter snaps pictures of the formula, then refolds it and puts it back in the coat pocket. Now, in the kitchen, Jenny gazes at a dish in the oven.
It's incredible! Only takes 3 minutes and it's finished.
Time is relative in the space age. What's the next move?
Well, now let's see. We turn it down to 350.
Control to operator, green 4, go 350.
And it just pops open when it's done?
Just like a flower. Talking of flour, you're a mess. Come here.
Bruce wipes flour from her chin.
Oh. I'm a messy cook. Thank you.
Hey.
She backs into the oven temperature dial.
You always had all those freckles?
Yes.
Cute.
Thank you. When I was a little girl, I used to hope they'd all grow together so that it would look like I had a tan.
But the boys chased you anyway.
Oh, I could run like a deer.
You still want to?
Jenny looks up shyly as Bruce leans forward to kiss her. Their lips meet. Anna knocks on the door.
Yeah?
Your private phone. Mr. Malloy calling from Washington.
Okay, Anna. Don't you nibble at that while I'm gone.
Bruce strides out of the room, and smiling, Anna pulls the door shut. Brushing her bobbed hair back from her face, Jenny takes a few steps forward, then stops, lifting her hands to her mouth. In the oven, the cake cooks up golden brown, then shrivels and burns. Jenny walks to the oven and gazes dreamily inside. Her eyes open wide and she gapes at the tiny rock of burned cake. The oven pops open and the cake breaks on the floor.
My cake?
Jenny kneels to clean the floor as the robot rolls out from its cabinet. Jenny jumps, bumping into a table and knocking dishes to the floor. The robot moves to clean the overturned plates, then lifts its vacuum nozzle up Jenny's leg. Jenny backs up against the refrigerator as the robot sucks at her sandal. The robot pulls on her foot, dragging her across the kitchen. The sandal slips off and the robot retreats to its cabinet.
Oh, help me!
Oh. Jenny chases it.
You give me back my shoe!
She yanks the shoe away. Jenny plops down on the floor, gasping for air. Her eyes open wide. Nighttime. At a carnival shooting gallery, the bald booth operator smokes a cigar and watches Pritter shoot a BB gun. Pritter's wild aim takes out the man's cigar, then destroys a water cooler. The bald man backs against a wall. Pritter puts down the gun and walks away, adjusting his suit. Scowling, the bald man stalks toward the counter and brushes a pile of metal pellets into his hand. He walks into the back where a shortwave radio sits on a desk. Dropping the pellets on a pad, he lifts one between his fingers and pulls a tiny roll of microfilm from inside with a pair of tweezers. The bald man unrolls the film and holds it against the white pad, then examines it with a magnifying eyepiece. He starts to transmit the code. Now, Jenny and Bruce ride in a yellow speedboat.
This is the quickest trip I ever made to Catalina. How fast are we going?
I'll go plenty fast, but it's classified. We're developing RIMCOP for the Navy.
What does that mean?
RIMCOP? Robot Inshore Manned Observation Post. How do you like that?
Oh!
Sure. This craft can be operated from great distances by remote control. Pick your target, press that button, and charlie.
Really? Hey, this is like I have on my TV.
Same idea, except I can't get the Late Late Show. Here, you steer.
Oh, no, I'd rather not do this.
Oh, come on. Are you or are you not the girl in the glass bottom boat?
I are?
Jenny takes the large remote from Bruce, then steers the boat in a wide circle. White spray foams in their path. She heads back toward Catalina Harbor.
There you go, sailor. Press the middle lever for more speed.
Yeah, you asked for it.
Jenny pushes the lever and the boat zooms forward, throwing the two of them back in their seats. Grinning, Bruce wraps his arms around Jenny and pulls her close. A bump knocks the remote from her grip. The remote bounces toward the back of the boat.
Get the remote gadget!
What?
The remote gadget!
Bruce climbs back to get it, but the boat sways. He crashes into the water. Jenny grips the boat's windshield, looking back at Bruce.
Please, how do I stop this thing?
Switch under the cowling! There's a switch under the cowling!
Ah!
The boat speeds toward a cruise ship. Jenny ducks and covers her eyes. From the water, Bruce steers her away. She takes her hands from her eyes and looks around. Quickly, Bruce swims to a nearby trawler and climbs aboard. The tiny speedboat careens in a wild circle, then straightens out and heads for two big yachts.
Jenny, don't worry, I'll steer you between them!
Jenny ducks again. The boat speeds between the anchored ships. She stands and looks back, then faces forward. Her eyes widen. Directly ahead, a man dangles from the bowsprit of a sailboat. He lifts his legs as the speedboat passes beneath him. White paint spills into the speedboat's windshield. Jenny's mouth drops open. She speeds under the wing of a hydroplane. Aboard the trawler, Bruce climbs higher to keep an eye on Jenny. She snags a fishing line as she passes a powerboat. The fisherman flies into the water. The boat rips through the sail of a small sailboat. Aboard the Nautilus, Jenny's father, Axel, looks through a pair of binoculars.
Great balls of fire!
His passengers jump ship. Bruce steers the speedboat away from all of them. Axel treads water, watching Jenny.
Look out, Jenny! Look out! You're hitting the shore!
The speedboat heads for the beach, and Bruce shakes the useless remote.
That's the Navy.
Hey, look out, everybody! I'm coming!
Now, swimmers race onto the beach, following skid marks in the sand, to the street where the speedboat rests amid a cluster of cars. A crowd gathers around the boat as Jenny sits up in her seat, looking around dizzily. As a police officer glares down at her, Jenny smiles. He writes her a ticket. Later, after dinner at Axel's.
Come on.
All aboard, all aboard on the glass bottom boat. That's the greatest show that was ever afloat.
Jenny joins in as her father sings and plays the ukulele. Bruce and Nina look on, smiling.
Blue sea, the deep blue sea, the deep blue sea. There's a lot to see in the deep blue sea. The sailfish sail and the blowfish blow. Cockles and mussels alive, alive, oh. With the hermit crab, he lives alone. You can't even get him on a telephone.
The halibut's eyes turn up and in. He don't know where he's going, but he knows where he's been.
Jenny crosses her eyes.
The grass bottom boat, yellow green, will show you the magic of the deep blue sea. Eat crabs and whitefish too, they'll all be there, what a hullabaloo.
With so many fish upon the scene, there's hardly room for a fat sardine.
The deep blue sea, the deep blue sea, there's a lot going on.
Jenny looks to her father for the words.
On the glass bottom boat is great.
I'm the captain.
You can use a mate.
Speak for yourself, little Jenny girl. The turtle is slow, but not so dumb. He carries his own condominium.
The blue what? Point oyster was caught with the coil. He swore he didn't even know the
The deep blue sea, the deep blue sea. There's a lot to see in the deep blue sea. The glass bottom boat, you will agree, will show you the magic of the deep blue sea. Oh, come along on the big clam bake and watch that swordfish cut the cake.
How in the barracuda makes the scene. The jellyfish shivers like a tambourine.
Frying fish is an awful hammock. Deep point land in a frying pan.
The porpoise has the most horsepower. The whale's the one with the built-in shower.
Starfish, do that soul. Abalone, a casserole. Giant, kelp. Barbie, go
run out of it. Oh, it's just beautiful. You asked for it.
You
wanted to do it.
Axel strikes a chord and looks to Jenny.
Me. When I was just a little girl, I asked my father, what should I be? Should I be reckless? Should I be shy? Here's what he said to me.
She points to Axel.
Hey, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah.
Give us a little thing on the end. Oh, you're beautiful.
Jenny gives her father a hug. Later.
Jenny, sorry to break this up, but Zach seems to ferret me out just wherever I am.
Oh, I'm sorry, too.
Are you really?
Well, yes, I am, really.
Jenny, you see that moon up there?
You mean that moon up there?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Well, right next to that moon up there is a planet called Venus.
Oh.
And I just hate to leave a girl alone looking at a planet like Venus. You see, what I'm trying to say is that Venus is shining just as beautifully for us over at my house. Doesn't that make sense?
Jenny opens her mouth, then shuts it.
And also what I'm trying to say is I wouldn't be all alone with my musty old equations. Doesn't that make sense, too?
She nods, smiling.
Jenny, I think you're trying to tell me something. Good night. Thanks.
Brushing his hand across her cheek, Bruce walks away. He pauses and turns back. Taking her in his arms, Bruce locks Jenny in a passionate embrace, then pulls away, smiling, and walks to a helicopter.
Let's go, Jim.
Jenny watches as Bruce climbs into the cockpit and waves to her. She waves back as the helicopter lifts off, ruffling her straight hair. As the helicopter flies out of sight, her smile fades. Her gaze drops and grows thoughtful. Jenny glances up at the moon in the star-filled sky. Back at her father's, Jenny stands alone on the porch.
Soft as the starlight in the sky. Soft
as the kiss when we said goodbye. Warm is the glow from the moon above. Warm is my heart that is filled with love. Love soft and warm as spring. My heart knows the reason why I feel soft as the starlit sky. Soft as the starlit sky.
Snuffing out the hurricane lamps that line the porch, Jenny walks to a lounge chair and lies down, staring up at the sky.
Soft as the starlight in the sky.
Her gaze fixed on the sky, Jenny slowly pulls the gold wedding band from her finger. Her eyes sparkle tearfully as she draws her lips together in a dreamy smile. The stars twinkle overhead. Now, at Bruce's office, he glares out the window, his mouth set in a frown.
Impossible.
He turns to face Zach Cripps and Agent Hill.
Mr. Templeton, classified information has been leaking from space plants. A spy ring is operating, and an innocent-appearing woman like Jennifer Nelson could well be a part of it.
Oh, yeah? And I'm partial to blonde foreign agents. Is that it?
You don't go along with that, huh?
Well, what do you think?
Read them, Homer.
As chief security officer of this plant, that is until Mr. Nelson returns from vacation, it is my sworn duty...
Homer, you're not running for election. Get to the point.
Point one. She's a pretty strange acting female.
Yeah, I'll buy that, Homer. What's point two?
Well, sir, I don't see you picking up the phone 3 and 4 times a day and talking in code like she does 3 or 4 times a day.
How does someone talk to someone in code, Homer?
She dials.
Homer pretends he's dialing a telephone.
And she says in the receiver, 1, 2...
Bruce looks over at Zach, who shrugs, raising his eyebrows.
4, 5, 6. That's all for now, Vladimir.
Vladimir?
Oh. Vladimir, an old Indian name from a tribe on the outskirts of Moscow. Go ahead, Homer.
And I don't see you, sir, making fires in your wastebasket and burning secret papers in the middle of the night like she does.
What?
Oh, she's clever, sir, clever.
Mr. Templeton, does this mean anything to you?
A piece of paper.
Cash on delivery plus XY squared. Yeah, I guess so. It's the work of a crackpot.
Go on, Homer.
Well, you wrote it on a pad, sir, when I was over there, remember? The day she returned your tiger stripe bikini.
Oh, that's nothing. Forget it.
It this must be something or you wouldn't have written it.
Well, if you must know, it's a formula for putting Mars and Venus together in the same orbit.
Oh, you need a rest. As soon as this is over, we're going to go.
Oh, look, shut up, Zach. This is junk.
Then why was it transmitted by shortwave radio? We intercepted it last night.
Brief him on that too, Homer.
She's got a 20-foot aerial rigged at her house, sir. Shortwave.
Well, how do you know she operates it?
We intend to check that out, but it looks like somebody wants Gizmo pretty bad.
If they don't already have it.
Ah, now wait a minute.
Bruce walks to a panel which retracts at the push of a button.
This vault of 10-inch steel plate will open only to the frequency of my own voice repeating this equation. G for gamma, B for beta, A for alpha, omega for open sesame.
The vault door swings open and Bruce takes a small packet from inside. He holds it up, showing it to the other men, then tosses it back in the vault and slams the door shut.
Any questions?
Oh, I never doubted that the plans were safe, but they are a prime target, just as you are.
All he's saying is, why don't you stick to your math?
That's right, sir, and let us handle Mata Hari.
Well, all I'm saying is lay off.
There's an explanation at all this, and I'll find it.
All right, let's keep the whole mess quiet. If the general ever gets wind of this... Oh, boy, I'm supposed to pick him up at the airport. Are you coming?
No, I'm going to bed, alone. Oh, by the way, not to talk out of school. I invited your little spy friend home tonight for fun and games. You know something? She turned me down flat. Which proves she's a nice little girl I thought she was, and certainly no Mata Hari.
Now, at Bruce's house, Jenny leans over a record player. Wearing a powder blue sheath dress with a low-cut back, she looks up, listening to the music, then begins to dance. She closes her eyes. Jenny smiles, smoothing the hair back from her face, then turns as Bruce steps through the door.
Hello.
Bruce turns slowly to face her.
Paula. You changed your mind?
Yes, I guess I did.
Well, fine, I'm glad.
He takes a few steps into the room.
Are you glad?
Well, of course.
Bruce, is something wrong?
Why do you say that?
Bruce closes his eyes, then opens them.
You've got Gizmo.
He sees Jenny in a trench coat.
And I want it.
Bruce shakes his head, squinting.
I feel something.
Oh, well, I hope you do.
Bruce pictures Jenny in a sequined bra top and a long wraparound skirt. She wears a jewel in her belly button and an elaborate sparkling blue headdress. He squints as Jenny blinks heavily made-up eyes.
Mata Hari stops at nothing. Nothing comes between Mata Hari and what she wants.
What did you say?
Bruce, are you all right? You look strange.
He pictures her in a burlap dress.
I will gladly give my life. Because I have stolen the secret for me. A thing you call Gizmo.
She wears a blindfold and smokes a cigarette. She pulls up the blindfold. She clutches her stomach and Bruce winces.
I think I better go. It is late.
I made
a mistake.
Oh, no. I made a mistake. It's just for one crazy second. Well, it's all pretty silly, sort of.
No, I should go.
No. Look, I love the music you put on. And in fact, I love everything about you.
Yes, but you were looking at me as if you'd never seen me before. You were.
Well, maybe I never have, really, until now.
Bruce, are you sure that you feel all right?
I'm positive.
Bruce leans in and kisses her. As she lays back, her elbow knocks a seltzer bottle to the floor. It sprays up at Bruce, who topples back into a tray of nuts and lands on the carpet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so clumsy. Oh.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Bruce.
Gonna take a shower anyway.
Oh, I'll clean up.
Well, you just get dry. Wait here and I'll slip into something more comfortable.
As Bruce walks out of the room, Jenny raises a hand to her forehead. She kneels down to clean up the nuts, glancing ruefully over her shoulder. She puts the tray on the table, then picks a nut off the rug and pops it into her mouth. Now, Bruce walks into his bedroom and takes off his jacket, dropping it on the bed. In the living room, Jenny sits on the divan, one hand over her mouth. She glances restlessly over her shoulder and spots a light panel. Hurrying over, she turns off the lights. She bustles back to the divan, then moves a yellow pillow to one end and pats it. Smoothing her dress, she reclines artfully upon the long couch, laying her head on the pillow. In the foyer, Zach shuts the door behind the general.
We'll get you set up in the guest room in just a minute, sir.
Well, on the double, I'm beat.
Excuse me, General.
In the dark living room, Jenny tugs at her hem, then quickly lays back. Zach steps in, then stops, looking down. Jenny lies with her eyes closed. Jenny opens her eyes.
How would you like to kiss me without soda water?
Zach glances around, then nods eagerly and grins. He takes a quick step to the divan and sits beside Jenny. Bending toward her, Zach puts his arms around her and she returns the embrace, kissing him with her eyes closed. Bruce walks into the room. He stops, staring. Frowning, he steps closer, watching them. He walks to the light panel and switches on the lights, then steps back to the couch. Arms crossed, he stands over Jenny, looking down. Jenny's eyes flutter open, and Bruce waves to her. Her eyes open wide. They cross as she looks at Zach.
Ow! Oh! Who are you? Who is he?
Zach Malloy, my partner. He drops in every now and then to molest women.
Hey, pal, you want to tell me who I've been molesting?
I don't mind at all. That's Jennifer Nelson.
Very glad that's Jennifer Nelson.
I'm in public relations.
Oh, you're doing a fine job.
Jenny glares at him.
Well, I guess I better see him.
Well, wait a minute. I'll drive you home.
No, I have my car. Thank you.
Oh, General. That's General Bleeker.
Oh, how do you do, General? And good night.
Have a nice trip, General. Uneventful until now.
Bruce follows Jenny to the door.
I am so sorry.
I've
just never been so embarrassed. Did you tell me you had guests?
Jenny, it's all right.
Well, you know, I picked up the peanuts first.
Yeah.
And then I turned out the lights and I was waiting for you.
I understand.
And then your partner,
Zach,
thought he was you.
I know, I understand. I'll see you tomorrow night at the party.
Oh,
good night.
Good night.
Jenny?
He steps out after her. Behind the door, their silhouettes embrace. Now, two men in suits walk through Pritter's dark electronics store. One of them, the bald man with the cigar, opens curtains into a back room. Inside, Pritter sleeps on a cot by a wall covered with posters of beautiful women. The men grab Pritter's arms and pull him up out of bed.
Hey, look! What's up? Oh, hello.
Mr. Pritter, you are in great trouble.
What?
You have taken our money under false pretenses.
But,
Yes, your output for 2 years has been cleverly revised excerpts from Space Magazine, Aerodigest, and Popular Mechanics.
You think I
Pritter shakes his head. The bald man shows him a slip of paper.
Now, this meaningless scrawl. You have caused us great embarrassment. And also, someone apparently has gone over our head. Who is Jennifer Nelson?
It must be some girl. Right?
They drop him.
Who is Vladimir?
I don't know.
Did you make it a point to know? Unbelievable how hot the end of a cigar gets, huh?
He moves his cigar toward Pritter's face.
You wish to say something?
Yes, I'll gladly return the money. I could borrow it.
Something more constructive.
Name it. You name it. I'll do it.
This party tomorrow night. You installed the PA system, did you not?
Yes. No, wait. No, I just fixed it, and I put it to the speakers, a little transistor.
But you have access.
Access, yes.
We want to know who this girl is.
We want to know who she is.
And if she has the correct equation.
The correct equations.
We want it.
You want it.
We'll put this on the band in cold.
Okay, you just...
Pritter takes the slip of paper and goes over to his radio.
Oh, it's cold. I put on the band in cold. And then I turn this on. Okay. Get the earphones, you know. Wait.
Now, at the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics embassy, a uniformed man listens through headphones. His eyes widen. At the U.S. State Department, a man in a gray suit listens in. At the Soviet embassy, the uniformed man runs off with a sheet of paper. At the State Department, the gray-suited man does the same. Now, General Bleeker answers the phone from bed. He jumps up and runs out of his bedroom. Now, Zach lies in bed watching TV and drinking milk. Bleeker barges in.
What the hell is going on here? General! Where? Who is Vladimir? What are you keeping from me?
There's nothing for you to worry about, General. The CIA's on the case. We're checking on the girl right now.
Girl? What girl?
Girl. The one you met.
What? I mean, she is a foreign agent?
Small cog in the wheel, but we've got her staked out for the big fish.
Is Gizmo safe?
Yes, now you just run along to sleep. All is well.
It had better be.
Bleeker marches out. Zach sighs. Morning at Jenny's house.
Unit 4, Los Angeles. Unit 4, Los Angeles. This is 11-2-11-73, Unit 2, Santa Catalina. Calling, come in, please.
Jenny lies in bed with her dog, Vladimir.
Unit 4, Los Angeles. Unit 4, Los Angeles. This is 11-Q-1173, Unit 2, Santa Catalina. Come in, please.
Daddy, what are you doing in Mom's bed? You scallop.
Unit 2, Santa Catalina, come in, please.
Jenny gets out of bed,
Unit
puts on a robe, and hurries into the next room.
Los Angeles is 11-Q-1173, Unit 2, Santa Catalina, come
She
in.
Picks up her radio receiver.
Okay, Pop, it's me.
It's
that's Arnold.
Jenny, I thought you told me you already have been security checked at that fireworks factory of yours.
I have been.
Well, what's going on? There's a couple of weird characters over here asking a lot of questions.
About what?
About you.
About me? Oh, well. Haven't you heard, my dear? Your daughter is just about the most dangerous woman in all of Lisbon. I mean, they say that one word from me and, forget it.
Cut it out.
Okay. Well, it does figure now, doesn't it, Pop? I mean, after all, I am engaged in very confidential work with a space-age genius.
How you doing with him?
Classified.
Are you in love?
I'm sorry, we cannot give out that information.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, hey, Pop, hold on, will you? My bell's ringing.
Jenny puts down the receiver and walks to the door. She opens it to find Cripps wearing a fake beard, mustache, and glasses and holding a clipboard.
Yeah. Good morning, Mrs. Nelson, isn't it?
Yes, I'm But I'm very busy at the moment.
My name is Carstairs from down the block. We're getting up a petition protesting all those traffic signals they're installing.
Well, some other time, Mr. Carstairs. I'm very busy.
Lord knows I have nothing against traffic signals. I mean children's safety and all that, but they ping all night. They ping, ping red, ping, ping amber, ping, ping green.
Come in, Unit 4. Come in, Unit 4.
Excuse me, Mr. Ping. Carstairs, I'll be right back.
She hurries to the radio. Cripps watches her through the open door.
Sorry, Pop.
Where were we?
You are the most dangerous woman in Lisbon, and we're engaged in the most secret stuff, so secret that you couldn't get it out of you with hot pincers.
Cripps takes a pen from his pocket.
Tonight's the big night. Oh, hey, I'm glad you reminded me. Will you call Vladimir today?
No.
Oh, please, it's very important to me. Vladimir's been terribly edgy lately, you know. Last night he did something he hasn't done in months.
What?
Jumped into bed with me.
Cripps leans in.
The hound, you ought to be shot.
Oh, boy, you're a hard, cruel man, Captain Nordstrom. You really are.
Those creeps are getting closer again.
Axel watches two men in suits.
If they put one foot in my boat, I'll wrap them in concrete and dump them in the harbor.
Go get him, Tiger. Over and out.
Jenny hangs up the receiver.
Mr. Carstairs?
Cripps runs frantically away from the house. Jenny's neighbor Mabel mows the lawn by the sidewalk. Cripps' fake beard falls underneath the lawnmower. Jenny hurries outside in her bedclothes. Mabel and Norman watch Cripps as he tries to put the shredded beard back on, then runs off.
Oh, hi, Mabel.
Hi, Norman.
Hi.
The neighbors stare at Jenny. She heads back inside.
Mutnik is better looking than that guy.
Mutnik's father's better looking
him and that guy.
Now at Bruce's.
Give me that jacket, will you, pal?
Zach hands him a tuxedo jacket.
I think you're hard of hearing or something. You read Cripp's report. Tonight's the night.
I certainly hope so.
What does she have to do to convince you? Get Moscow on that short wave of hers?
Bruce takes Zach's drink.
Or maybe you'd like to see some home movies of Vladimir jumping in bed with her.
Aw, knock it off, will you, Zach?
Well, that was in Cripp's report, too.
You know something? Cripp's head needs a long vacation. For that matter, so does yours. What's the matter with you? You're getting as nervous as the general. Hey, I know where there's a great party.
He opens a door.
You can come as my guest.
Your guest? This whole thing was my
idea.
Come
on, I'll buy a drink.
Buy me a drink. I'm picking up half the tab here.
You're picking up the whole tab. What are you talking about?
In the main room of Bruce's house, a jazz band wears powder blue suits. Formerly dressed couples file in. Mr. Goodwin stands by a huge buffet table.
Well, how's it going, Ralph?
Public relations-wise, we are a smash.
On the patio, Pritter nervously puts down a pair of pliers. He bumps his nose on hanging glass candle holders. He heads into the party, dancing as he crosses the dance floor. Homer Cripps peers at him from behind a ceramic Buddha statue. At the buffet table, Pritter takes something from his pocket and puts it on a platter. It looks like an hors d'oeuvre made from pimento-stuffed olives and cheese, identical to the others on the platter.
Well, no sign of her yet, pal.
Don't worry, your super spy will be here.
Back on the patio, Pritter puts a tiny receiver in his ear. He takes a small radio from his tuxedo and turns it on.
I hate these things.
Don't eat them.
At the buffet, two toothpicks in the fake hors d'oeuvres move like antennae.
My ulcers are getting a little rowdy, too. Matter of fact, they're getting
red, white, and blue in honor of our losing our government contract.
Oh, we're not going to lose anything. Look, relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Bruce walks away, and Zach reaches for an hors d'oeuvre. Pritter turns a knob, and the fake hors d'oeuvre moves around the platter away from his reach. Zach looks down at it. He looks up with a worried expression and glances around the room. Then he heads for a bar. The bartender watches him pick up a glass of liquor, then pick up a second and pour it into the first.
Nerves.
Now in the kitchen, Jenny carries a box.
Hi, Anna.
She wears gloves and a yellow swing coat.
Oh, you look lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, wait till Mr. Templeton sees you.
You think you like it?
You'll like it and what's in it. Lemonade for Julius.
Julius is here?
Mm-hmm.
My cake.
Poor dear worked like a Trojan all day. He even helped me with the hors d'oeuvres.
Well, I'm putting this in a safe place.
Another cake?
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, you're spoiling that man.
That's the plan.
At the buffet table.
Well, having fun, General?
Fun? Fun?
Gentlemen, we are on a spy hunt. According to Hill, we're bound to make contact tonight. That's why I want to be particularly careful that you... Where is Hill?
Well, he's not here yet, but we do have security men all over the place. You may be sure if Mrs. Nelson is a spy.
If? If, did you say? Until she is proven innocent, she is guilty, and that is my motto.
Well put, General. Until proven innocent. Good motto.
Bruce gives Zach a look, then turns to the buffet table. Jenny comes over.
Good evening.
Hey, Jenny!
He takes her hand.
Yeah. You remember Zach Morton?
Yes, we've met.
And perhaps you remember General Bleecker?
Jenny smiles and nods.
Mrs. Nelson, the band is playing my favorite tune. I wonder if you would
well,
be so
commission,
good.
I think I'll fly the first mission, General.
Excuse us.
Bruce hands his drink to Zach, then walks Jenny to the dance floor. Cripp stands beside Zach and winks at him. Zach gives him Bruce's drink.
Thank you.
Bruce and Jenny slow dance.
You know you haven't said a word about my new dress.
Very lovely. But I haven't really been looking at it. I've been looking at you.
Jenny beams. She and Bruce spin around together.
Bruce, this house is just perfect for a party. Everything's so beautiful.
Yes, it is.
He smiles at her.
Isn't it marvelous what a new dress will do? Huh?
Aloy, I don't like to say this, but we just can't depend on your partner.
Oh, now, sir, Bruce is...
The couple stop dancing.
What do you think of the new guest house for visiting brass?
Oh, is it just for visiting brass?
Oh, I think we could accommodate a little girl from Catalina.
Jenny smiles and turns to Bruce. Together, they walk under an arbor where guests eat at tables. Outdoors, they head for a set of stairs leading up to a row of guest rooms. General Bleecker and Zach watch them.
He is obviously enamored of that young woman. And in my book, love and war don't mix.
Good motto, sir. What do you suggest?
Well, for now, eyes peeled, full alert. Remember, anyone in this room might be Vladimir.
Zach nods.
Anyone.
Bleeker scans the room, his eyes shifting back and forth. Outside, Bruce opens a door for Jenny. They step into a bedroom decorated in bright reddish orange.
And here we have the red room.
Jenny remains in the doorway, smiling nervously.
Well, as you can see, we have red carpet and red walls and red ceiling.
Jenny's gaze stays on Bruce.
And then, of course, next door there's the blue room, and that has a blue carpet and blue walls and a blue ceiling. And
Jenny turns off the light, still smiling.
I love you.
Bruce smiles back, then hurries to Jenny and embraces her.
I do. I love you. Phone's ringing. I didn't think it could ever happen again.
They kiss.
The phone's ringing. Oh, but
she gradually backs him toward the phone.
Will not, please.
He picks up the receiver, puts it to his ear, then leans in to kiss Jenny.
Bruce, come down to the ballroom right away.
What for?
Hill's on the phone, wants to talk to you. He says it's important.
Bruce kisses Jenny again.
Okay.
He hangs up, then holds Jenny's waist and sits her down on the bed.
Get used to it. I'll be right back.
They kiss again. Bruce holds Jenny's hand, letting it go slowly as he walks away. When he's gone, Jenny flops herself down in her back. Now, Bruce makes his way through the party. Pritter watches, hiding behind the bosoms of two women. Now, in the vault room with Cripps and Bleeker, Zach hands Bruce the phone.
It's calling from the plant.
Hello, Hill. Why don't you come down and join the party? You're working overtime, you know.
So is your lady friend, judging by the contents of her desk.
What are you talking about?
At NASA, Hill goes through Jenny's things. In the red room, Jenny sits up.
Oh, Vladimir.
Oh. She grabs the phone, props herself up on her elbows, and turns on a light beside the bed. She puts the receiver to her ear.
For the last time, Jennifer Nelson is not a spy. Now, why don't you stop wasting time with this witch hunt?
Okay, help me waste some more.
Would you go over that again about Project Venus?
I told you there is no Project Venus. There never was. It was just a gag. It was something I cooked up to make time, to take the chill off. I don't have to go into all this.
Apparently, she believed everything you told her.
Well, she was supposed to.
Miss Devlin, are you sure she isn't making time with you?
Now, what are you talking about?
You love banana cream cake, so she bakes you banana cream cake. How did it come out?
I wouldn't know. I hate cake, and I hate bananas. That makes banana cream cake a double hate.
Jenny stands and puts one hand on her hip.
She won a prize for it. If she won a prize for octopus pudding, I would have loved that, too.
Okay. Just keep an eye on her till I get there.
We intend to.
Every phone in the house is bugged.
Now, wait, listen, all of you. Hilly is still there? Listen. This girl couldn't possibly be a spy. To begin with, this girl hasn't got the brains to be a spy.
Jenny's eyes widen.
I have seen spies before. She's got that same shifty-eyed look.
And they generally used oversexed girls for this line of work. And judging from that lipstick you walked in with.
Mr. Templeton, we must keep her under surveillance. I'd appreciate your cooperation in staying close to her all evening.
All evening? All night, if necessary.
Fine. See you later.
Jenny puts a hand to her stomach, blinking quickly. She sits on the bed and drops the receiver to her side. Taking deep breaths, she rubs her legs anxiously and wipes her eyes. She turns to hang up the phone receiver, then flops down. She lies face down on the bed. She flips onto her back. Sitting up, she wipes tears from her face. Then she grabs her purse, stands, wipes her face once more, and marches to the door. Outside, she marches along the terrace connecting the guest rooms. At the party, couples dance. Jenny marches between them, navigating her way briskly across the dance floor, shoving guests aside. In the kitchen, Anna takes a long gulp from a glass of liquor. Jenny marches in and grabs her coat.
Oh, Jenny, I was just having a little nip to quiet my nerves. Where are you going?
Home.
Home? The fun hasn't even begun.
Jenny stops near the doorway. She turns slowly.
You're so right, Anna. The fun hasn't even begun. Are you all right there? What's the matter?
What are you drinking?
Hooch, that's half scotch, half bourbon.
It sounds delicious.
Jenny takes it.
To a big dope who's a lot smarter than they think.
She takes a long sip. Now at the buffet table. A woman stares in horror at the hors d'oeuvres. Cripps rushes over.
What's the trouble?
I thought I saw one of those hors d'oeuvres move.
Oh, sure. Probably a shrimp trying to get back to sea.
Bruce, Zach, and Bleeker step out of the vault room.
In case you're interested.
Oh, I know. If we want you, you'll be in the red room.
That's right, Pally. You play your games, and I'll play mine.
Okay. Bruce strides off.
Malloy, we just can't depend on your partner. It's up to us.
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, if worse comes to worst, one of us will just have to spend the night with her. We've got to fight fire with fire.
May I volunteer, sir?
I admire your spirit, Malloy, but this is one mission I may have to take
on myself.
Hello.
Jenny walks up.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Nelson. If you're looking for Bruce...
He left.
Really? Oh, that's too bad. That means you and I can have the next dance, General.
The next dance? Why can't we have this one?
We can, if you'll just give me a chance to come powder my nose and make one teeny-weeny little phone call. Now, don't you go away.
Jenny blows a kiss to Bleeker as she leaves.
Phone call.
Cripps runs over.
Phone call.
Phone call.
Phone call.
They hurry into the vault room. Inside, a red light flashes. Zach grabs the phone receiver and hands it to Bleeker. In the powder room, Jenny looks through a book, then dials the phone. In the vault room, the reels of a tape machine spin. Now, in a living room, a man and his wife watch TV.
Hello?
Hello. Vasily, don't talk, just listen.
The goods you ordered will be at Pier 63, San Pedro, before midnight. Your contact will be wearing a black windbreaker and a patch over his left eye. The recognition signal is... Vladimir sent me. Over.
Over? Over what?
Black patch, a windbreaker. Have you got somebody to cover Pier 63?
Cripps shakes his head.
Every man here is on special assignment, sir. The two I sent to Catalina, one was my brother-in-law, never returned.
Well, get somebody, get a hold of Hill.
Jenny dials again. In a hallway, a lady with curlers in her hair answers.
Yes, who is it?
Hello, 104. Don't talk, just listen. TOS to 104, are you there?
Yes, yes, I'm here. What is it?
We're having trouble with our deliveries, but we hope to have it on the way by morning. Over.
Thank you very much. I'll tell my son.
Jenny blinks in surprise.
I want someone on Pier 63.
I'll try to find someone, sir.
Well, hurry up, General. You're dancing with her. Get upstairs.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
General Bleeker runs out. Now, Bruce steps into the red room, smiling as he closes the door.
Jenny, darling?
He walks to the empty bed and looks around.
Jenny?
At the party, Zach stands by Bleeker.
Here she comes.
Jenny crosses the dance floor.
Now, get in there. Remember, this is for... our setting.
Jenny smiles broadly and hurries to Bleeker.
I've been waiting.
They dance.
I haven't felt like this since Culver Military Academy.
Oh, I love older men. They make me feel so secure, you know?
Yes, I know.
I feel I can talk to them.
Oh, you can talk to me.
And share secrets with them.
Oh, you could share secrets with me.
Well,
Jenny glances around.
I am arranging to spend the night in the guest house. Perhaps we could get together later.
Your place or mine?
Ooh, my, you are Durant.
That's my motto. Old Frontal Attack Bleaker, they call me.
Okay, Frontal. My place. In the red room? At exactly, let's see now. 12 o'clock midnight.
12 sharp midnight.
Now, I'll be there 5 minutes after 12. Would you wait for me, Heath?
Oh, I'll be waiting. With bells on.
Oh, no medals, General. I'm terribly sensitive.
Nearby, Cripps wears a blue gown and a wig. He nudges Agent Hill.
It's me. Crip? What the devil are you made up for?
No man's land. The powder room, in case she goes there again.
What is going on?
There's to be a rendezvous with Vladimir, I think.
Vladimir?
Pier 63. My men were busy, so I sent someone else.
Becoming color.
Oh, thank you.
Cripps wears a powder blue stole, white gloves, and a ribbon in his tall red wig. He looks in a tiny mirror, fixing his makeup. A man leaning against the bar eyes him. Cripps ignores him. Cripps looks up suddenly, then hurries back to the bar, but the man is gone. He shrugs. Nearby, Jenny sits down at a table.
May I get you a refreshment, my dear?
Yes. Champagne. Then I'll feel like I'm still dancing with you.
Bleeker hurries off. Jenny sighs and leans an elbow on the table. Zach freezes over and sits next to her.
Hey, baby.
Jenny turns with a sexy smile.
Say, am I glad to see you.
Well, what did you do to the general? He is flying.
Forget it, sweetheart. Yeah? I can't stand older men.
You're kidding.
I was married to one once. Spent all my nights playing dominoes. You know what I mean?
D-U-L-Dull. Well, tell me, how do I grab you?
She touches his shoulder.
You're just the right age, Zachy.
You keep that up, and I'm going to be a lot older. You know, when I kissed you last night, something went bomb.
Yeah, I heard it.
Well, you should have. It was a loud bomb.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
We're adults, aren't we?
So let's act like a couple of kids.
Well, I'm planning on spending the night here. Later.
You tell me where and when.
She beckons him to lean in close, then whispers in his ear.
In the red room. At 5 after 12.
He rubs her shoulder.
With bells on.
And pajama bottoms. Or tops.
At the bar, Bleeker picks up 2 glasses of champagne and heads back to Jenny and Zach.
Here you are, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Wallace.
To your beauty.
Oh, sweet. Nostrovia.
The men abruptly stop drinking.
Cheers, y'all. Oh, I almost forgot. I have to make a phone call. My sick aunt. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Follow her. I'll cover the phone.
Right.
They hurry off. Nearby, Pritter dances with a woman. He sees the men go by and chases after them. Now, Jenny steps out onto a secluded balcony. She takes a compact from her purse, opens it, and holds it in front of her.
064. 064, come in, please.
She glances behind her. Zach hides behind a curtain in the doorway.
All phones bugged. Now hear this. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. That is all. Over and out.
Zach flattens himself against the wall as she walks inside, then follows her. Pritter and Cripps come out from behind another curtain and bump into each other.
Oh!
May I have this dance?
Cripps shows his security badge.
Officer, would you?
Knock it off, Buster. I've been watching you all evening. You've been acting very suspiciously, especially around the buffet table. And you haven't taken a bite.
Pritter indicates his portly figure, then hurries off. Cripps follows him to the buffet table. printer picks up an hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, I see you like olives.
Oh.
So do I. Well, this one looks like it's made of metal.
Oh, I love them that way.
What's wrong with that olive?
Printer pops it into his mouth.
Nothing. It's delicious.
The two toothpick antennae stick out between his lips. He pulls them out. He chews. Crip stares as Pritter swallows. Now, outside, Bruce heads back to the house. He passes Bleeker.
Oh, hello, General. Have you seen Jenny?
Jenny.
Oh, Jenny.
No. Good night, old man.
Wait a minute. You're not folding up this early.
Oh, it's quite late for... Really, you know, almost 12 o'clock, my bedtime.
Bleeker yawns and heads for the guest house.
Sleep well.
Bruce bumps into Zach.
Oh, hi, old buddy.
Hi, right, where's Jenny?
Jenny?
He feels his pockets.
I don't know.
Good night.
Where are you going?
I'm going to bed. The little fellas need 9 hours, you know. Good night.
Wait a minute. You haven't been to bed before 12 o'clock since you kicked the pablum habit. What's going on?
Shh. Simmer down. I've got a date.
With whom?
With Jenny, that's with who.
Whom? Whom? Jenny?
Yeah, she wants to worm some military secrets out of me. Fortunately, I don't know any, but I'm willing to make some up. You wouldn't hit a coward now, would you?
Zach hurries toward the guest house. Now, in the powder room, Jenny dials the phone. Cripps comes in and sits down near her in front of a mirror. Three other women come in and sit down as well. Jenny notices Cripps' ankle-length men's socks held up by garters. She smirks and stands behind him, primping her hair in the mirror.
You got room?
Mm-hmm, yes, I can see, thank you.
Jenny glances at the sash tied in a bow behind Cripps' back.
Excuse me, miss. Your bow is untied.
Oh, really?
Yes, can I help?
Oh, you're so kind. Would you be good enough?
Yes. Just step back here toward the lamp. Oh, it's satin. Satin does slip, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm very partial to satin.
Oh?
I was married in satin.
Oh.
That is my first marriage.
Jenny unties the bow, then ties the sash to a lamp.
There we are. That's a lovely bow.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, dear.
You're sweet.
Cripps tries to follow her out. The lamp falls and rips away his skirt. Now, Jenny marches into the kitchen, grabs her coat, and marches out. Bruce pushes her back in.
Where do you think you're going?
Who do you think you're talking to? And get out of here.
You're staying here.
I am not staying here.
You're staying here until you tell me what's going on around here.
Is something going on I hadn't noticed?
I want to know what all this nutty talk is about.
What do you mean, nutty talk? And give me my purse. It has a two-way wrist radio in it.
That kind of nutty talk. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, really? Well, I'm also sending a message to the Kremlin.
Oh, really? And what kind of message is that?
My secret formula for octopus pudding.
Know what Jenny made my...
Uh-huh.
You listened in.
I listened in. Oh, yes,
you just stay here. I'm going up to General Bleeker and straighten out this whole mess.
I will not stay.
I said wait.
I said no.
I said wait.
I said no.
He picks her up.
Put me down.
He shoves her into a pantry and closes the door. She slaps it with her palms.
Incidentally, bust him in the mouth.
Get me out.
Just outside the kitchen, Bruce finds Agent Hill.
I want to talk to you. Those phone calls, there is no question about it. She's an agent operating...
She's no more an agent than you are. And if you're the best the CIA can come up with, this country's in big trouble.
Now, you look here. We'll have to detain her.
Mrs. Nelson can leave here whenever she wishes.
What's that noise?
What? Oh, well, I locked her in the closet.
You said she was free to go.
She is, and so are you. In fact, you're off the case.
Wait a minute.
Just take a long vacation at my expense.
You can't do this.
I can't. Come with me.
Bruce marches to the library, where a woman lies passed out on a couch, and waiters pick up glasses. Bruce dials a phone.
Operator, I want Washington, D.C. I want Central Intelligence. I want a man called Donald C. Headley.
Sure, I'll wait.
I'll show you where you're on it. Hill? Hill!
Agent Hill climbs upstairs, opens a door, and slinks into the vault room. He takes a tiny reel-to-reel tape recorder from his jacket, stands in front of the vault and presses play.
This vault of 10-inch steel plate will open only to the frequency of my own voice repeating this equation. G for gamma, B for beta, A for alpha, omega for open sesame.
A bright red light shines in the vault. It opens. Now a sign in a pier reads Port of San Pedro, Pier 63. Axel climbs onto the pier from his boat.
How long will you be, Skipper?
Just long enough to find out what's going on.
What about these snoopers?
They give you any trouble, dump them overboard.
Take care now, Skipper.
Everything will be okay unless some other idiot asks me about Vladimir.
Goodwin appears.
Vladimir sent me.
Axel scowls. Later, Goodwin sits dazed on the pier, a broken barrel wrapped around him. Now at Bruce's house, Bruce talks on the phone.
Believe me, that's it, Don. Put some men onto it right away, and I'll handle things this end. Right. Cripps! Homer Cripps!
Yes, sir!
Listen, you put two guards in the vault room, seal the gates, and find Edgar Hill.
Hill, did you say?
You heard me. Find him and hold him. And his name's not Hill, and he's not with the CIA. Now, find him!
Not with...
Find him!
You're right, sir.
Now, Agent Hill creeps into the kitchen. Hill finds Jenny's purse and looks through it. He glances at the pantry door, then takes the gizmo plans from his jacket and puts them in the purse. He moves to the pantry door and unlatches it, then leaves. Jenny falls out and looks around confused. She marches around the kitchen, grabbing her purse and coat. She picks up her cake box. Bruce appears in one doorway.
Jenny, darling, everything's okay. I love you.
Ooh. Jenny runs out the other way.
Jenny,
Bruce follows her.
Jenny, and I love you, banana cream cake.
Bruce backs up with the cake smashed on his face.
Jenny?
The cleaning robot comes out of its cabinet and reaches its hose toward Bruce.
Down, sit.
Anna hurries over.
Get out of here. Go on. Beat it! You silly darn thing, I'll beat it!
She smacks the robot with a broom, chasing it back into the cabinet. Now, in a blue guest room, Bleeker wears a silk robe. In another room, Zach puts on a kimono.
Be my love, for no one else can end this yearning.
In his room, Bleeker picks up a bottle of champagne and two glasses.
Shouldn't be enjoying this so much.
In his room, Zach tries on sunglasses. Now, Bleeker carries the champagne along the terrace and opens a door. Stepping into the red room, he turns on a light, then peers through a beaded curtain at the empty bed. In his own room, Zach checks his watch. He picks up his own champagne and glasses, then poses in the mirror.
My only regret is that I have but one life to give for my country.
In the red room, Bleeker sits in bed wearing pajamas. He spritzes cologne on himself, then puts the bottle down in the nightstand by the champagne. He takes off his glasses and lies back. He switches off the light. Outside, Zach creeps out of his room and tiptoes toward the red room. Behind him, Bruce leans on the terrace railing, watching with one hand on his hip. Reaches the red room door, looks around and heads inside, grinning. Bruce hurries after him. Bruce listens at the door for a moment, then barges inside and turns on the light. In the bed, Zach pops open champagne, spraying Bleeker in the face. Bruce stares distastefully at each of the men. Zach cringes and blinks.
Yeah, well, when you two have finished playing house, I got news for you. For your information, the CIA...
Did you open the safe?
What? No.
Well, somebody did.
Bruce runs out. Cripps notices the two men in bed. He smirks suggestively at them, then runs out. Zach and Bleeker exchange awkward glances.
Well, you want to meet early and pick out the furniture?
Now, Jenny gets home. As she pets Vladimir, she doesn't notice a figure in a chair pointing a pistol at her.
Sit down, Mrs. Nelson.
She straightens and stares at the man with the gun.
Sit down.
She sits in a chair.
And don't yell.
It's Pritter. He reads from notes.
First, who are you? And who are you spying for? Who are you spying for?
I don't know anything about anything, do you hear me? They decided I was a spy. Well, they had their fun and I've had mine. Now it is over.
Don't move! It is not over, Mrs. Nelson.
It is over.
Now, let's start again.
Pritter puts a cigar in his mouth, then rises and approaches Jenny.
Who is Vladimir? What about Gizmo?
I've told you everything.
Talk, Mrs. Nelson.
Pritter leans in close and blows the ash from his cigar tip.
It's unbelievable how hot the end of a cigar gets.
Hope you wouldn't dare to.
Oh, no? Yes. In this spy business, it's dog eat dog.
Now can I tell you something I don't know?
He stands over her, puffing furiously. She blows smoke away from her face. Pritter starts to cringe.
What's the matter with you?
I don't smoke.
Sure, I'll get some water.
Yes, but no, don't move. Stay where you are.
He points the gun into his mouth.
Please don't.
It squirts water.
Oh, water, bitch.
She slaps his shoulder and he drops the gun.
I couldn't give. I weren't a lady. I'd give you such a. Go sit
down. I'm a failure.
You are.
I can't do anything.
I don't feel good either.
I never wanted to be a spy.
Outside, a mysterious man in a suit walks across Jenny's patio.
Listen, I would defect, but I don't know where to defect to. But they're going to kill me. What am I going to do?
What you're gonna do. You're gonna make a clean breast of the whole thing and tell them everything. And name names, that's what.
Names? I don't know any name.
Well, you get orders from someone, don't
yes,
you?
But Noni over the phone, you know, I would recognize his voice, though.
Well?
It's some spy. They didn't even give me a number.
Wait, you're gonna get one now.
Jenny opens her purse and finds the packet marked Secret Gizmo. She moves her hair out of her eyes and stares. Outside, the man in the suit, Agent Hill, watches. Jenny's eyes widen.
It's Gizmo.
Gizmo, you are a spy? A dump.
I am not a spy. Don't you say that anymore. I don't know how that got in my purse. Now you just shut up. And I'm going to find out right now.
Jenny dials the phone. At his house, Bruce talks on the phone.
Well, don't talk like that. We tried to hold him, but he got away. Well, you've got his description. Work on it.
Well, we really goofed this one.
You can say that again. Hello?
Edgar Hill, please.
Jenny, listen, darling, I've been trying to call you. Look, let me...
Jenny's.
I wish to speak with Edgar Hill.
Hill comes in.
I thought you might, Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, Mr. Hill, thank goodness you're here. I was just calling you.
Jenny! What did she say?
Where is she?
What's going on?
Call the local police right away. Step on it.
Me, sir?
What do you mean, me, sir? You, sir. Step on it!
Right, sir. Let's go.
Cripps picks up the phone. As the other men head out, Axel walks in.
Mr. Templeton, what's going on with my daughter? Where is she?
Axel, she's in big trouble. Show me where she lives, please.
Well, we got her into this. Let's go.
Now at Jenny's.
So we suspected you, of course. That's the reason we planted those phony plans in your purse.
Pritter tugs Jenny's sleeve.
Excuse me.
His back to Hill, Pritter points to him and mimes talking on the phone. Hill draws a pistol.
I think he's trying to tell you he recognizes my voice.
Yeah, he's the one who gave me the orders on the phone.
Jenny's mouth drops open.
You're the spy!
At your service, Mrs. Nelson. And now I've got an order for you. Give me those.
You'll never get these plants from me. Never!
Mrs. Nelson... I'd rather not do anything rash.
She backs away. Behind her back, she turns a knob on the shortwave.
Coming.
Call a cop!
You leave me alone!
Hill turns to the birdcage, and Jenny slips through a door. In her bedroom, she leans against the door, holding the radio receiver.
Unit 4 is signaling Mayday.
Now, Bruce drives with Axel.
One more question. Who's Vladimir?
Doug.
I didn't ask your opinion on him. What's his racket?
Zach drives Bleeker.
General Bleeker here.
We are now proceeding to the scene. Would you stop that coughing?
At Jenny's.
Mayday. Anybody out there? Over.
Heard you, Unit 4. This is Gravy Train, Max's all-night diners. Repeat message. Come in, Gravy Train. This is Albert Hall, Rocky Reef Lighthouse. What's up? I don't know. Sounds like the dame's in trouble.
Unit 4 here. Come in, please. Help.
Hill finds his way through a bathroom to Jenny's bedroom door. He sticks his gun into the room. Jenny rams the door shut on Hill's arm and he drops the gun. She runs out of the room. She passes Pritter, who lies groaning on the floor. Jenny dashes into the kitchen. She closes the bottom half of the Dutch door, then opens it in order to close the top half. She ducks under the top to close the bottom, then locks the top. On the other side, Hill tugs on the locked half, then opens the bottom and crawls through. Jenny breaks a vase over his head. He topples backward. Jenny watches him for a moment, then closes the bottom door. Hill stands and tugs on both doorknobs. Behind him, Pritter gets up.
Hey! She's a nice lady!
Hill hits Pritter with a chair. Jenny opens the top door, which also hits Pritter. Hill climbs into the kitchen. Jenny grabs the sink sprayer and shoots water in his face. Jenny scoots outside. Her coat gets caught in the door. Inside, Hill coughs up water. Outside, Jenny tugs on her coat, then takes it off and runs. Hill hurries through the door, trips on the coat, and falls. On the patio, Jenny throws a metal chair into Hill's path as he gets up. He hurdles it and hits his head on a tree branch. Meanwhile, the two cars speed closer. Back at Jenny's house, Jenny throws trash cans into Hill's path. Next door.
You're drunk and cat or something.
Outside, Jenny walks through some bushes and climbs up into the neighbor's window. Inside, Mabel lies in bed. She sees Jenny's leg sticking in through the window. She hides under the sheet. Jenny crawls inside, then looks out. Holding up the hem of her skirt, Jenny quickly tiptoes across the bedroom, then into the hallway and shuts the door. She looks around at several doors, then opens a closet and gets inside. Outside, Hill stands up among the toppled trash cans. In the bedroom, Mabel sees his leg climbing into the window. She hides under the sheet again. Hill hurries across the room. Vladimir jumps in through the window. Mabel tries to yell to Norman, but no sound comes out.
Shut up, Winnie. You sound like a dog.
There are two people in this house.
Yeah, and one of them is nuts.
In the hallway, Hill goes straight to the closet and opens it. Jenny lies on the top shelf. Hill closes the door, starts to walk away, then stops. He steps back to the closet and throws open the door. Vladimir lies on the top shelf. Hill searches the closet. Jenny runs out of the second closet door, then through a door across the hall. Hill rams the new door with his shoulder. He crashes through it, landing on a bed which collapses. Jenny runs back out through the hole. She pauses, closes the ruined door, then runs back into the bedroom. In the bedroom, Jenny hides under Mabel's bed. Hill rushes in and crawls after her.
Norman!
Hill looks at Mabel.
Shut up!
You can't talk to me that way!
Mabel smashes a lamp over his head. He passes out.
You shut up and let me sleep?
Mabel passes out. Now, Bruce's convertible and Zach's sedan speed toward each other. They swerve and skid into Jenny's driveway. Inside the house, Pritter opens the front door and sees the convertible coming right at him. Zach's car crashes into the garage. Bruce's ends up in the front hall. A police car arrives outside and two officers get out. Inside, Bruce and Axel look around frantically. The officers rush in and grab Bruce and Axel. Pritter lies under the detached front door under Bruce's car.
Officer, can I speak to you a moment?
At the neighbor's, Jenny lies under the bed nose to nose with Mabel.
Hello, Mabel.
Jenny!
Jenny wriggles out.
Jenny!
Now, Jenny and Bruce ride together in the yellow speedboat. They wave happily and he kisses her on the cheek. Hands tied on strings trail behind them. They look into each other's eyes and kiss. The boat spins out of control. Axel and Nina watch from their boat. They cover their eyes.
Oh, no.
On the beach, bathers follow a skid mark in the sand to the street. They crowd around the speedboat. Inside, Jenny and Bruce still kiss. The End, The Glass Bottom Boat, presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast, Doris Day as Jennifer Nelson, Rod Taylor as Bruce Templeton, Arthur Godfrey as Axel Nordstrom, John McGiver as Ralph Goodwin, Paul Lind as Homer Cripps, Edward Andrews as General Bleeker, Eric Fleming as Edgar Hill, Dom DeLuise as Julius Pritter, Dick Martin as Zach Malloy, Elizabeth Fraser as Nina Bailey, George Tobias as Mr. Fenimore, Alice Pierce as Mrs. Fenimore, Ellen Corby as Anna Miller, DJ Thompson as Donna.